Hi, again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and this is program 486. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will show you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a tape of program 486 or an audio a CD of program number 486. They're free, and that includes postage and handling. We pay it all. Really, you should tithe in, though, because there's so many thousands upon thousands of people and millions of copies of these CDs and video audio tapes that people want. You need to help out in the ministry. If you're being fed from this ministry, then help. We have a strong message today from the Bible, and I've got some different methods of how you're able to tell how you can get rid of lusts by the Word of God, and many other things when you're disappointed, discouraged, how to get rid of all these different things. We have some music, we have letters, and we have strong prayer. Right now, let's pray. Let's go to the throne of the Lord. And Father, there are so many things going on in the world that need to be taken care of. We need to get our eyes off of ourselves and on you. We need to see the things that are going on in the world. It's evident just before our face all the time, all the different things, how government is coming against the true born of the Spirit Christians. And now, in order to try to save a little bit of face, they're going after some of the charlatans. My goal is to go against the Antichrist cult. They say that the Christian are spending too much money on themselves. This may be true, but it is you that we should pray to. If we feel that way, we should pray to you to come against the government that is spending hundreds of billions of dollars to blow people up. My question today is, who would Jesus blow up today? Yeah, they say they're Christians, Father, but who would you blow up, Jesus? That's the question. You wouldn't blow up anybody. So if they say they're Christians and they're not keeping your commandments and they're blowing people up and spending billions of our taxpayers' money, our tax dollars, to blow people up, that isn't what I'm all about. I don't like spending money like that. We pay our taxes, though. But Father, we ask that you come against this Antichrist government that is such hypocrites that are attacking Christian churches and even the phonies. But even the Apostle Paul stated that he's glad that at least the gospel is being preached, even if it's preached feignedly, because the word, even though it's twisted, is getting out. Some people are preaching it correctly, but they're spending money. That doesn't bother me at all, because I see people that are in the Antichrist government living like kings in mansions that cost billions of dollars and hundreds of millions of dollars. If anyone should be living good, it should be the Christians, even though I don't believe in that sort of prosperity message, where we live in a nice house. It's not a pretentious house at all. Most people might even be ashamed to come to our house, these high-rolling evangelists, because they like to show off of the things that they have, and they may be using the money wrong, but I don't believe it's the government's place, the Antichrist government, to come in and attack people that are in the gospel field, because they, one side of their mouth with their forked tongue, say that there's supposed to be a separation between church and state. And then they come in and say that they can police us. We're not of this world, but the Christians shouldn't be giving them any excuse to come in. On my case, Father, you know very good and well that they trumped it all up and they got false witnesses, and I'm sure that's what they're doing to these evangelists, quote, evangelists, unquote, or preachers, quote, unquote. And for them to have $28,000 toilets, that's really sick. And it's giving a black eye to the gospel, and for them to be giving Bentleys one to another that cost some of them $150,000 or more, is giving presents like that. This is not gospel preachers. It's obvious, and they're just hurting the entire Christian realm. Lord, I ask that you pour out your Spirit on this broadcast today to teach not how much money people are spending or what they're not spending, because as far as I'm concerned, I could care less. They should be spending the money on the gospel, but on the other hand, some of them are preaching such warped gospel that I'm glad that they're not spending all the money on it, because it's just warping people to say that once saved, always saved, and no one can be blotted out of the book of life when your word plainly says so, or they're saying that no one can be spit out of your body when you plainly tell us that. Lord, these are false teachers and preachers, and we ask that you rebuke them. Lord, rebuke Satan. Rebuke him. And Lord, send finances into us, because I've already told you that we would use the money strictly for the gospel and to pray for Israel and for Jerusalem, for the peace. Now, the peace of Jerusalem means that we pray that they will receive the gospel, because there's no peace unless the Prince of Peace is living in our hearts and souls, in our spirits. And if it's not, our spirit is not living with your spirit in it, or we're not living in your spirit. There's no peace for Jerusalem until they accept the Messiah. Lord, anoint everything done in this service. Anoint the message. Anoint me so I can bring the message that it is that you want from before the foundation of the world, that the souls in the world will be saved and the church strengthened. Lord, rebuke Satan. Destroy him. Tear his kingdom down. Cast it down into hell. Father God, I ask it in faith, believing in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, here's my friend, and they say, well, no, he can't be your friend anymore because he's dead. No, Porter is alive. Those of us that are saved, we never die. Amen?
Amen.
And so Porter knows that I'm his friend. He's still my friend. He's still alive and much better place than we are right now. Here he is singing, Ye of Little Faith.
Now we're so busy here, no time to sing and pray. We labor on and on from day to day.
Never reading the Bible, but we know it's right. We walk by faith and not by sight.
Oh, ye of little faith, what are you gonna do? Ye of little faith, what are you gonna do? When the world's on fire and darkness stealing through. Oh, brother, what will you do? Now in the Bible there's Corinthians 12:13. Beareth, believeth, endureth all things.
We speak to our brethren and laugh with faith, from God the Father to the end of our faith.
Oh, ye of little faith, what are you gonna do? Ye of little faith, what are you gonna do? When the world's on fire and darkness stealeth through. Oh, brother,
faith in the Bible, believe in God's word, pray for salvation, every prayer is heard. Always love your brother, always treat him right. Walk by faith and not by sight.
Praise the Lord. Now, that was very good. You know, Porter had some real good pickers. They are really good. And I always used a lot of the pickers that he used. Now, there's the Jesuit Oath. And the Vatican, the Antichrist, the Pope tells them, you have been taught your duty as a spy. That's what they, instead of serving the Lord, what they do is spy on Christian churches. To gather all statistics, facts, and information in your power from every source, to integrate and to ingratiate enough to demonstrate that they're degenerate. Personal lives and fruitless ministries betrayed in their attempt to teach error. These people say that they should even stoop as low as to be a Jew, that they will even go into a Jewish synagogue to bring accusations. There's been so many Jesuits that have infiltrated into my church, and they have brought every kind of, they twist everything that we do, and they lie. I know that during the trial where I went to prison for the gospel's sake, they said that we had two sets of books, and what was that? We had no two sets of books. We just barely have time to keep one set of books. I don't even pay any attention to the office. I don't do any banking whatsoever. And I turn all the money over to the secretaries here, and they're the ones that bank it. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
Okay, so, of course, they're not attacking me now because everybody knows that I was railroaded into prison. And it was there during the birth of my boy, who's now 16 years old, and I wasn't able to spend time with him for the first 4 years of his life. So these people, they are betrayers. That's what they're all about. It even says it in the Library of Congress. You can get the Jesuit Oath by writing to the Library of Congress. They filed it there, and it just tells how sinister they are. But the Lord knows all about it. I really don't pay that much attention to that sort of thing anymore. I've written pieces of literature called The Pope's Secrets and The Fugitive Pope. Of course, John Paul II worked for I.G. Farben. They're the ones that make Bayer aspirin, Alka-Seltzer, all kinds of drugs that people are dying from. And they're the ones that made the cyanide gas to gas the Jews. But that Holocaust was small in comparison to the Holocaust that they're causing today, the Roman Catholic cult. These abortions, there's like 46 million of them a year. You compare that with 6 million Jews, this is 46 million planned murders of human beings that this world needs. And the Lord said, he commanded to be fruitful and multiply. And they come up, the lies that they're telling us, there's not enough land, not enough water, not enough food, nothing. They just, it's not enough oil. This is such a lie. They stopped the production of oil in this country, and that's what they use this, the different lies that they tell. There is, if you've ever flown over the world, you can see that there's hundreds of millions of miles acreages that are not inhabited. There's plenty of water, there's plenty of food. They pay people billions of dollars to not grow food, and so you're living and because you've been brain damaged by listening to the news media and all the lies that they tell about people. They're honing in to take away the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion. There was a march in Washington, D.C. against all the things that the government's doing. There was 500,000 young people there. They want every one of us to know, and I know it already, that we have a lot of followers out there that believe exactly the way that I do. And some of them, young people, they get sick and tired of it. And there wasn't any news media coverage on that march at all. None whatsoever. And it was one of the biggest marches that have ever been done in Washington, D.C. I don't believe in marches myself, because the government's like you're marching in front of Satan and expecting him to do something about what he's doing. Satan is never going to go against Satan, Jesus said. Amen?
Amen.
And he said, those of the people of the Lord, if you're really of the Lord, you're not coming against the Lord. And to me, these people are spending hundreds of billions of dollars to bomb people, blow them up. Again, I say, who would Jesus blow up today? Can you think of anybody?
No.
No, he came to save sinners. And he's not going to blow anybody up, and neither are we. We are harmless as doves. Amen?
Amen.
But we're wise as serpents. We know what the Antichrist knows, and we know what he's doing in the world. And I guess, you know, there's a lot of ignorant, stupid people that call themselves Christians. And the Lord said that his people perish because of a lack of knowledge. They don't have any knowledge. They pray through, but they don't study the Word of God. They don't carry the cross. They don't deny themselves. They just vegetate. And of course, when the strong persecution comes, they don't know how to defend themselves, because they don't carry the double-edged sword, the Word of God. They don't have it down. And they could care less. They think everything is going to be the way that it is today. They think it's going to be that way tomorrow and the next day, and it's not. There's changes happening in the world, and people need to have the be girded about with the double-edged sword of the Word of God. They must put the girdle on. They must put on the entire armor of God. Because the church can only be built upon a rock. And that rock is the Word of God. The rock is Jesus. And you can't stand at all. And for the church that is built upon a rock, this is what, you're not the church if you're not built on the Word of God. You can't be part of the body of Christ if you don't have, if you're not totally filled with the Word of God. Because then, if you are, then you're impregnable. There's nothing that can come through you or hurt you. The Bible states, quote, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen?
Amen.
That's Matthew 16:18. It has been oftentimes in the sea, the church. Oh, man, I've been out to sea. I've been battered around back and forth. I've been through fire. The whole church, the real church, has been in the sea, but never drowned. I never have been drowned. I've been through a lot of rough waters, kids, okay?
Amen.
But I'm still alive and kicking. I'm not drowned. So I've been seldom in the fire, but I've never been consumed by the fire or burnt. Amen?
Amen.
And do you see any burn marks on me?
No.
Well, the Vatican says, well, we'll just put you to the stake. Well, you do me service then, because I want to be in heaven. I saw the Lord. I saw heaven. And I know what it's like there. And this place is a miserable mud ball full of vermin like you. Vermin like you. I've been sometimes swallowed up to a reason, but like Jonah in the whale's belly, I was cast up again as too heavy of a charge for the strongest stomach that ever a persecutor had to digest. You persecutors out there find it hard to digest me, don't you? Now, I'm willing to receive your cards and letters on that subject. So, the faith of this has carried the blessed martyrs to the grave when they swam to it in their own blood with joy, because they knew the church should have the day. We'll have our day at last, and that we left others behind in pursuit of the victory on earth, while themselves were taken out of the world, out of the field, to triumph in heaven. See, you people that are attacking the house of God, you're not going to triumph in heaven. You're going to be screaming your heads off for eternity. Doesn't that make you feel bad? It should, you know, if you've got any brains, but I don't give you credit for that. Neither does the Lord. He says you're going to do it. You're going to be in hell. But he does give you an opportunity to repent. And we have some letters. And we have some reports.
From Ghana, Africa.
All right.
Dear Pastor Lamo, may God richly shower his blessings on you. Your words and your preachings are like seeds germinating in us humans. In fact, you have totally changed my life.
No, it's not me, it's the Lord. But, you know, I'm smart enough to know if I preach God's word, that it's going to germinate in people, and their souls and their lives are going to be spared. They're going to be in heaven. They're not going to be screaming in hell in the lake of fire. Okay, what else?
You have introduced God to me. You have made me believe there is a God. May his glorious blessings flow on you in the name of the Most High God in heaven. Sir, reading your literature really inspired me. I have a lot of copies of your literature, and it has shown me the way to God. As of now, I don't have a Bible, so please send me one and some more of your literature to share to my loved ones who want to get closer to God also. Thank you very much, and continue to do his work. May God richly shower his blessings on you and your fellowship according to his purpose in the precious divine blood of Christ. Yours in God, Richard from Accra, Ghana.
Okay, praise the Lord. I assume the Bible's already sent to them. It's absolutely free of charge, because the Lord gave me eternal life free of charge. I didn't pay a penny for it. And one of the things that happens, you know, we get so many letters from our witnessing crews that are out on the street witnessing to people. And so we have one today. I thought it would be good to let you people know that we're not just sitting here behind the desk here at the radio station. talking to you like that. We're on the streets. And here's a report we from a crew that we just had in Florida the other day. Let me hear it.
Sir, the people down here in Tallahassee were very receptive. Out of all of the thousands of newsletters that we put out, only two people asked us not to put them on their lot. However, they wanted literature for themselves. We did the whole entire airport with absolutely no problem. When we did the Florida State University, we had a lot of people stop and ask us what we were selling. When we told them that we were not selling anything, but we were distributing gospel literature, it turned into a total open door to witness to them, and they were very happy to get the real truth. Several people thought we were being paid to do this, and we told them that we were volunteers.
Yeah, because people today won't do anything unless they're paid. The Bible says they won't even open the door of the church unless they get paid for it. But, you know, the Lord paid a price for us, and He bought us, and we're supposed to be, He gave Himself for us, and we're supposed to be giving ourselves to Him. Mm-hmm. You people that are going to die with your banks loaded full of money and so many houses that you don't need them and buildings that you don't need, where we could go in and open a church and have living facilities for people, you know, you have robbed God. And, you know, you should let us use it for the ministry. There's places right now that we could use in Detroit, Cleveland, New York City, Washington, D.C., every major city in the world, and even the medium-sized cities. We would go in to them with our people, even in Mexico. And everywhere in the world, we have people that are distributors all over the world, but we need your help, because there's millions of people that are receiving this literature that the Lord has given me and these radio tapes, and we need you to get involved in the ministry, because what's going to happen to you if you go on to be you go out of this world and you're standing before the judgment bar of God, and you're storing up for this side of eternity. And what for? I mean, this is just a dressing room for eternity, to see what you're going to do with what you have. And if you're just concerned about yourself and not others, that shows that you don't have any mercy on other people. And if you have no mercy, the Lord is going to give you no mercy. Now, come on, you people out there, get off of it and start helping out. Okay? All right, finish off with this.
They asked, "Do you know this Pastor Tony Lamo?" We said, "Yes, very well." We told them that we go to his church, and we started telling them how that we have churches all over the country and the world. They were like, "Wow." They thanked us for the literature. Some of them said that they had relatives in Arkansas, and they were going to tell them to visit our church. We had quite a few ask us if we had a church in Tallahassee. The first day.
No, when they tell you things like that, say, "Well, we will, if you will show us a place where we can hold church, we'll come in." Amen?
Amen.
Because we have some people that would love to go down there and open a church. And they could be the church themselves, because primarily the people in my church, they distribute my literature and they invite people to come to the church. And they hear my tapes and they read the literature. And, of course, the people that are in the church get up and give testimonies of how they received salvation. Many of them have received it other ways, but they are being fed at my church.
Amen.
All right? And so they give testimony to that, and they go out, they fellowship, they make new friends, and they go out and witness and testify, and they accomplish something in this life for the Lord.
Amen.
And it's not just for the Lord. The Lord has got it made in heaven. But He said, if you do His will, then you'll have it made in heaven as well. And if you don't, you're not going to be in heaven. Okay, continue on.
The first day there, we distributed your literature at the big football game and an outdoor festival. We had been distributing the literature there for a couple of hours until I noticed that there were no other white people there out of the thousands of people. We saw a total of about three white people besides us and the police.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. I don't know anybody that's white except Michael Jackson. Okay? You know, I'm Jewish. My skin is green, the color of money. But I'm not after money. just for the gospel. I told the Lord if he sends in $1 trillion, I'll spend it all on the gospel field. Okay, so I don't know anybody that's got white skin. I got white paper in front of me, and my skin doesn't look like anything like that white paper. Only Michael Jackson looks white to me. Now, he's a white person. Okay? Now, there is no difference in blood, though. The Bible says every human being has one blood. That's it, okay? And so the Lord doesn't look on the color of our skin. He looks at our heart. And what does the Lord see when he looks at your heart? That's what you have to be concerned about, because if you're being cursed, then you got to know that there's something wrong with you. You should go through the Bible as it's a mirror and see if any of the things that you're doing that offend God in the mirror that you're doing, and stop doing them in order so that you can be blessed instead of cursed. Okay, and what else?
However, it didn't bother any of us. These were souls, and they were...
Well, why would it bother you? This is strange for somebody in my church to be saying, because there's a bunch of black people there that would bother them. It doesn't bother me. I was in the music business for years, and I was around a lot of black people, and it's still our music in Los Angeles is primarily black. H.B. Barnum is the person that leads our music in the church, and my boy Sion, and who's also green, and he's green in color, you know, Jewish. So, we don't look at the color of your skin. Most of our musicians in Los Angeles are black, and we have black musicians and brown musicians and beige ones, and we've got even yellow people in our church. We have churches in Hong Kong, China, anyway, Singapore, all over the place, everywhere. We're in over 200 nations. Would you believe that? Okay, then what else?
They were very receptive, and we just kept on going. Down around the streets that were close to the stadium, people had turned their front yards into paid parking lots. When we were putting the literature on those cars, they said, "Hey, what do you have there?" And we replied, "Gospel literature." They would step back and say, "Oh, go ahead, and let us have one also." The people were very nice to us, and even the police were respectful to us.
Yes, because the police know about me very well. They know I'm squeaky clean, is what the FBI said. Okay, then what?
They saw us and our T-shirts and what we were distributing. One security person said to us, "Oh, you are with the Tony Lamo Ministries. Keep going." And he wanted to help us where we could get to more places to distribute the literature. It was very awesome to see people that were so open to the gospel. At night, when I was reading Bible at the hotel room, I was so happy and rejoicing at what God had done for us in opening doors spiritually and physically that it was hard for me to go to sleep. One of the days we were distributing the literature, we came across this condominium, and it was gated and all of the doors were locked, and so was the one next to it. So I was praying, "God, please, we need open doors, literally." And not even a minute later, one of the doors we passed was completely open. And of course, we all thanked God and went in and put the literature on every car in the lot. I know that God was with us and the devil was mad at us. At one point, I tripped over a pole I didn't see in the middle of the lot, and I bruised my knee pretty bad. But I knew that the devil was angry for what we had been doing, and he had just finished really getting some good open doors. Instantly, I was reminded about how the devil was attacking you in your sleep, and you told him, "However hard you come at me, I'm going to get you even harder." So I just prayed and came against Satan in the blood of Jesus and said, "I'm going to get you back, Satan." And I got up and started walking and kept distributing the literature. Some of the girls said, "Aren't you going to sit down?" And I said, "No. If I sit down, I won't be able to get back up. I'm going to keep going." At first, I was limping, but then it got better and better, and we did 3 or 4 more big lots before we left. I know that God blessed our trip, and we could physically feel his spirit and protection with us. The day after we hit downtown in the big game, we were at this hotel checking in, and the manager told Debbie and I that it was crazy downtown where the game was, and that when that game goes on, it is best to either get out of town or stay home, because it gets so crazy. Debbie and I just looked at each other because we were in this very area. When we were there, we knew that God was with us because when we were there, the people were calm and very respectful to us and the work. We felt there was a bubble around us and protecting us because we had no problems, no racial slurs, and no problems whatsoever. When we were told
when we told people what we were doing, they literally backed up and let us go. I was so thankful that we are in this ministry and have a pastor like you that is so led by the Holy Spirit. I could go on and on about things that happened, but this is already long enough. However, I really wanted to let you know this and say thank you so much for all the time you put into study and into bringing these messages and everything else that you do to keep this ministry up and letting us go out. Also, the girls that we took, Naomi, Brooke, Vanessa, Miranda, and Tamala, they all did a very good job and were very well behaved. None of them went off, and they all listened.
All right, praise the Lord. Yeah, this, you know, when people get hurt, like if you hit your leg on a post or something happens to you, don't use profanity. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And the pain will go away. You try that sometime. Amen. You'll see that everything will be fine. Now, and there's a thing, too. A lot of times, it doesn't seem as though the Lord is with you. But if you're born of the Spirit and washed in the blood Christian, the Lord never leaves you or forsakes you as long as you're doing what he says to do. But sometimes he will. It'll seem as though he's left you. Now, there's a scripture in the Bible that tells of that, and this is in the 2 Chronicles, and it's in the, I believe, the 28th, the 32nd chapter, and it's verse 31. Okay, so Sharon, read that. So this is, the Lord will never leave or forsake you if you're of the Lord. A lot of people, like, he leaves you. It seems like he leaves you for a while, but he's not leaving you. He's just checking you out to see that if you're going to curse God, like he did that with Job, but he did this also with Hezekiah in the 32nd chapter of 2 Chronicles, verse 31. Okay, go ahead.
Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land.
Okay, well, what was the wonder done in the land? The wonder was that because of the fact that this king was threatening to kill the Jews and to take Jerusalem over, the walled city, he was saying that he was going to kill him, that nobody else. This is Sennacherib. And the wonder was that God killed the entire army in one night. He sent one angel and killed them all. And do you remember how many there was that was killed there?
185,000.
185,000 dead corpses that were rising against God's people. Now, one thing, you know, when you see people rising up against your church, you shouldn't worry about things like that. You should pray to the Lord like Hezekiah did. And you'll see that God will do something to the people. He's threatening. He's saying, there's no God that's going to rescue you. There isn't anybody that's going to do that. I'm going to destroy you people. You better surrender to me. But Hezekiah knew that they couldn't do that. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
You can't win. So you best stop doing that, folks, because I don't want to see your soul go to hell. God doesn't want your soul to go to hell in the lake of fire. And I don't either. If I wanted that, I wouldn't be preaching the gospel. The Lord came into this world to save sinners like you and myself. I was a sinner, now I'm a son of God. The Bible, the body of Christ is composed of many sons of God, and I'm just one of them. Okay, so this is the miraculous thing that happened. Okay, but now go ahead and read that again.
Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land.
The wonder that was done. That's wonderful that 185,000 soldiers were killed instantly because they were attacking God's people. And if you're just one person doing that,
God doesn't even have, he can send one of the baby angels down to you, one of the cherubs, okay, to just take care of you. I know cherubs are not babies, but the Lord just needs to speak one word, die, and that's it. You're gone, and nobody will remember you anymore, okay, little funny person. Okay, then what?
God left him to try.
God left Hezekiah. He left him just, you know, to check him out, is what it says. Go ahead. Left him what?
To try him.
To try him, to see if he's going to say, Lord, look, at I prayed to you and you did, you answered me and everything. Now have you left me? Have you left me permanently? Do I no longer have God? Just because you're going through trials and tribulations, not everybody has trials and tribulations only because of their sinners, but some people, God leaves you to try you, to see if you're really going to start bringing accusations against him, or if you're going to say, well, I must be gone, so I'm just going to start sinning. Must be something wrong with me, and so if I'm going to hell, I'm going to have some fun while in this world before I go. Then you start committing adultery and fornication, and the Lord is just testing you out. He doesn't tempt anybody, but he sure does test people. So hopefully this will give encouragement to a lot of people out in the world. This is right from the Bible, folks. Okay, read it again. He left him for what?
To try him, that he might know all that was in his heart.
Yeah, so the Lord will find out what's in your heart. When I went to prison, I just said, Lord, and he took everything away. We had accumulated after many years of being in the ministry. Probably, if you assess it today, it would be over $100 million worth of property. Or he allowed me to go to prison on false charges. And I just said, like Job did, though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. I trust God. I don't trust people, but I trust God. I don't trust the Antichrist, but I trust the Lord. And, you know, if, you know, I know that he was trying me. And I thought, and finally, it kind of got to wearing on me after I'd been in prison for 3 years. Around 3 years or three and a half, and I said, Lord, did I do something wrong? Is that why I'm here? Or, you know, or is this what it's all about? All of everything that we have has been taken away, and here I am in prison, and I'm not near my boy, and my boy is suffering and everything. Did I do something wrong? I says, tell me something to encourage me. And he answered right away, he said, you're saved. And I says, praise the Lord. You know, I was just so happy that I was saved. And that, you know, even if I was little, small, and naked in heaven, I'm saved. You know, that's all I care about. But then about 5 or 10 minutes later, I says, Lord, give me something more. And he said, you're going to heaven. I says, that's enough. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. I don't need any more than that, folks. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so I'm being tried right now, and so I just say I'm going to keep up the Lord's image inside the prison now, and I'm going to come out with flying colors. And I did get out. Instead of doing the 6 years, and in federal prison, you don't get much time off at all. And I got out in 4 years. But I had to do a half year in a halfway house. But I was just so thankful to the Lord that he said, you're saved and you're going to heaven. That's all I needed. That's all I need to know. That's all I need. There isn't anything else, folks. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What? You know, what is in this world that's worth anything? Nothing, folks. Believe me when I tell you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so go ahead. Read that part again. That's okay. Just that part is so good. Just if you're going through trials and tribulations, you look in the Bible and you see you're clean as a whistle. There's nothing against your conscience. You have peace in your soul and in your conscience that you're doing everything that the Lord says to do. And you're going through it. It's just a test. brothers and sisters. That's all it is. It's just a test that you're going through. He's just checking you out to see if you belong to him no matter what. You know, Peter was crucified upside down. Christ himself was crucified right side up. The Apostle Paul had his head chopped off. But they knew they were going to be in heaven momentarily. Amen?
Amen.
That ought to be enough. You're saying, well, you're not encouraging us to be Christians. What more do you want? What more do you want in this world? $1 billion? What good is $1 billion or $100 billion or $1 trillion in the bank do for you if you're not saved? If you're, you know, you die 5 or 10 minutes from now or tomorrow in the middle of the night when you're helpless laying in bed and the death angel comes into your bedroom and takes you out. What good is that? All that money. If your soul is not right. If you don't check out. If the Lord's checking you out. And so you get to, it's like this, I believe it was Rockefeller or Getty, one of the two that had such bad stomach problems. He had billions of dollars, but he couldn't even eat what he wanted to. He had to drink mother's milk. He had a bank where mothers would come in that need money, and they'd use breast pumps and fill bottles of milk for him, and that's all he could eat. First of all, I don't like milk, okay? I think that the only kind of milk people should drink is mother's milk when you're a baby. After I was weaned, I never drank milk. I don't, you know, I don't think people should drink it because there's so many things that are wrong with it, especially with the diseased cows today and with all the medicines they have in them and everything. You're sucking on the body of a cow. That's full of hormones and all kinds of medicines and steroids and everything. A friend of mine, Ray Wilson, he's the health studio guru of the whole world. He says that he doesn't take steroids. He said, all I have to do is go down and buy a steak and cook it. And he says, I can feel the steroids that was in that meat. And he says, it just makes me, you know, really energetic. And I said, well, the Lord, you know, it doesn't let me eat beef. And I love steaks and beef, roasts and things like that, or hamburgers too. I don't eat them because the Lord said for me not to eat them. Or anything dairy. And I reckon it's because there's so much disease in beef, and in animals. People think they just can't go a day without eating all that kind of garbage. And it must be garbage. I know that in the days of the Lord that they used to eat it because they did pump the animals full of that kind of stuff. But today the Lord forbade me to eat that or any dairy, ice cream, butter, cheese, all that, which I love very much myself. But I don't, and everybody in the church decided to do the same thing with me, and they're way more healthier. We hardly have any colds or flus or inflammations or anything like that. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, go ahead.
God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart.
Yeah, God wants to know what's in your heart. And you take the hedge down from you, and people show their colors immediately. Well, I'm just going to go out and get drunk, or I'm going to go get some, I'm going to get loaded on pills or pot or uppers, downers, inners, outers. I'm going to sniff some glue, gas, smoke some bananas, or dry bananas or something. Look, we came out of the drug culture. We had the hippie church back in the 60s, and we know all about those kind of things because we won thousands of people to the Lord back then. And we know all about it, okay? So, now, blessed are those that do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled, and filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? Mm-hmm. Isn't that something
mm-hmm.
to know? The Bible says if we seek the Lord and follow him and do everything that he says, that he'll give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, we're going to triumph in heaven. Yes, some by a prophetic spirit have foretold the very time when the persecuted truths. What I'm saying is people that are carrying the truth are persecuted today. You don't see them persecuting the Pope. I'm not persecuting him. I'm not threatening him with death like he hires people to kill me. And like the President Clinton told the FBI to kill me because I was pulling the lid off of that can of worms over there. And they got saved by coming over to my church and seeing that I am what he called squeaky clean. So he didn't do it, and because he didn't do it, they put his son in prison. And he's there on false charges himself right now. He said that they told him, only do what we tell you, and your son will not go to prison. But he wouldn't do it because he was afraid of the Lord. But we're there, buried with so much ignominy and scorn. Should have a happy resurrection and victory over the proud enemies. Yeah, we're going through all those things, false accusations and scorn, but we're going to have a happy resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
Very happy. I want to be happy, don't you?
Amen.
I don't want to have a painful look on my face when the Lord comes back and pray for mountains and everything to fall on me, the rocks. And I want victory over my proud enemies. And I have that victory. Here are some directions on how to use the sword of the word against heretics and heresies. So now the second enemy that comes forth against the Christian is the heretic or the seducer, the seducing spirits, who is so much more to be feared than the former. Somebody can kill you, but if you receive the things that seducing spirits are telling you, by how much it is worse to part with God's truth. I mean, and you believe the heresy and part from God's truth. So it's a lot worse than our own life. It's better to just receive only the truth of the Lord than to part with our own life, to be corrupted in our minds and to be turned away from God and tortured in our members. It's better, in a word, to have our souls, better than to have our souls damned by God, than our bodies killed by man. I'd rather be killed by man than to have my soul damned, wouldn't you?
Amen.
So all you people out there are receiving false doctrines, and you're so afraid, and you're following Satan, and you're receiving their doctrine, I'm glad I'm not you. It's time, my time is up, and so right now is the time for you to receive the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way to heaven, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So you want to go to the Father, then just say this prayer to Christ, to the Father through Christ. Say to him, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy former sins away in the precious blood you shed on that cross. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, just praise and thank the Lord, and Sharon Dome, how to receive a CD or an audio tape of program number 486.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alama saying tune in tomorrow for another powerful instruction to eternal life in heaven. And I'm very proud to say that Porter Wagner and I are friends. And I'm proud to say that when I was recording this song that Dolly Parton had written, that he came into the studio and says, "Let me sing along with you, Tony." And I said, "Fine." And here we are, Porter and myself, singing, "Lord, Hold My Hand."
Let the deeds I do be kind. Let me never hesitate to help my brother walking blind. Hold my hand lest I lose my way. Hold my hand and lead me home. Guide each step that I might take. Let my words have meaning, Lord. Anything that I might speak, if you see me leaning low, just hold my hand and strengthen me.